Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, I'm Otle. I'm Africa. I'm Sir, the beautiful African. Good day, good evening. Dimela, Tobela, Malweni, Ashe, Hotep, Sava, Assalamu Alaikum. To sons and daughters of the soil, sons and daughters of Africa, Africa should hold sacred and protect life of the individual of Africa, man, woman, and child. This is the principle guiding the Africa program, that Africa must provide security of life and protection against any physical harm against the individual of Africa. Africa should guarantee the individual of Africa the inalienable right, indigenous natural right and benefit of Africa's resources, Africa's natural creations, mineral and natural resources. Of course, Africa, international law that was even set out in the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 1803 in 1962, that was on permanent sovereignty over natural resources. It affirms, Africa, nations have permanent sovereignty to nationalize national resources if this can be justified on the grounds of public utility, security, and national interest. Africa, indigenous communities, inalienable right, must be protected, Africa, more so against corrupt governments. Because most governments, like we are saying, that we've been calling, we looked at the issue of the reparations against the apartheid economic crimes, the land dispossession. None of those things have been solved. And in fact, Africa, the individual Africa in Azania, South Africa, is poorer. So we are saying that indigenous communities in inalienable right to mineral and natural resources and land must be protected against invasion or sale by corrupt governments and politicians. Africa should nourish and develop the individual of Africa, body and mind, human asset. If each one of us, Africa, is a human asset, it's an asset, Africa, to be developed, nourished, so that we are able in a position to compete. That is the only way we can compete against other nations or against the global competition. That is the only way Africa can do it. Protect the individual. Let Africa comes first. And legislation be rooted in the individual of Africa. That is, give the Africa, individual of Africa, space to grow, to as well grow Africa. Because that's the only way we can grow the continent. And you're saying that Africa, we guarantee no minority rights because we think in terms of individuals and guarantee individuals, not groups. Like you are saying, Africa, even in Azania, South Africa, there's an issue of protection of the minorities, and we end up making groupings, and these groupings have consolidated, so they vote as a racial group or a racialized group. That's why you have students, 21 years after the blackboard, are complaining in some of the universities, being called kafirs, niggers, after independence, the blackboard. So, Africa, we Africans, we guarantee fundamental and basic freedoms for the individual Africa, including the freedom of religion, freedom to pray, Africa. And to this program, we are saying, reiterating at this moment, that we demand universal natural laws that protect indigenous inalienable rights to benefit from the natural creations, mineral, and natural resources. Goes back to the land, Africa. indigenous communities should be protected from invasion and dispossession by paper money currency. Paper money currency that has no value than the mineral and natural resources. We have been duped, Mafika. We have been duped. And the world communities indigenous to mineral and natural resources suffer exclusion. That is a quote from Pope Francis that he said the other day at the United Nations. Now, Pope Francis from Argentina deals with rural communities, the most oppressed indigenous communities. And he deals with the slums, people in the slums. So we appreciate his perspective, and it has more resonance to us. We can connect with that. So, to quote the Pope again, world communities indigenous to mineral and natural resources suffer exclusion from their indigenous resources because, quote again, they are differently able, that is, they may be handicapped, or because they lack adequate information and technical expertise, or are incapable of decisive political action. Now, political action here, that's where the greatest gambit happens. That's where the deals are made. Political office in Africa has become, similarly, it has degenerated to a drug dealer at the street corner. Hustlers waiting for the best, whoever brings money in a paper bag. That's how the continent has been sold. And that's exactly how the whole political leadership that is currently in office in Tanzania and across Africa, has been bought, bamboozled, co-opted, and swallowed in Africa. So the Pope continues that the excluded are examples of the vast ranks of excluded. Example of power badly exercised, made increasingly fragile by dominant political and economic relationship. Why should indigenous mineral and natural resources be scavenged by foreigners with paper money? Paper money. So Africa, we are continuing with respect to the gold continent of Africa because there have been civil wars there. Like the Pope was pointing out, if there's a war, there are people. They have names. The people who suffer and die are displaced have names. Can you look at the Syria now? Because of the arrogance of leadership, not wanting to listen to communities that were complaining that, look, okay, my child wrote the graffiti on the wall. Can you give me my child back? They killed the children. That was the source. So we are saying, Africa, no African government should subject itself to suffer threats of sanctions as punishment against the violations of individual African rights, civil war, mass brutality, and the killings of African people and individuals. No. The whole of Africa, the continent, must cease to brutalize African peoples and subjects. It has to stop. And political parties, especially governing parties, should live and die by their political manifesto, programs, ideologies, and delivery of people's needs and services. If you think you're a nationalist and you're Pan-Africanist and your philosophy or programs are superior, there's no need to impose yourself on the people. If they change, give them space. And we say that government and political parties in Africa should best articulate and deliver the services and needs to the individual of Africa and communities. They must anchor government by the people for the people, not government by and for the political party hegemony. In Africa, we have the best example of the Sandinista movement. Sandinista liberation movement overthrew Somoza family dynasty, and they won election January 10, 1985. But come 1990, they lost. Why did they lose? They lost to opposition, which carried about 55%, and Jadelo Tega got 41%, because the Bush administration had funneled almost $50 million of non-lethal aid to the Contras, as well as $9 million to opposition parties, equivalent to $2 billion worth of intervention by a foreign power in U.S. elections at the time, and proportionately five times the amount George Bush had spent on his own election campaign. And Sandinista lost again in 2001, but they were re-elected as president. I mean, they were re-elected, especially Ortega as president of Nicaragua in 2006, November. Africa is not under pressure of the imperialists, as we claim all the time. You know, we see imperialists in every corner. We see every corner, we are the ones oppressing our people. We are causing the most damage, and the national movements in particular are the most damaging. So we need a process, my Africa, that will build, move the continent forward, move the people forward, put the processes in place to get the people move forward, so that we can better stand a chance to compete. 21 years after the black vote, the majority and some of the liberation fighters and the ranks of the they are more ostracized, excluded, because why? You have a cabal that's running power. What happens, that they've given it to the enemy. The enemy is running to the banks, man. We've pointed out that even the Reserve Bank of South Africa is not independent. It's not completely autonomous. That's why it could not intervene in Zimbabwe when Zimbabwe was facing an economic crisis. And as we speak, Zimbabwe is struggling on multiple currencies, have to depend on outside for aid. While South Africa is there, but the thing is that, as we say, that it is in the mind of Africa, and it is the principles. So the liberation movement must learn to lose elections. We can always come back. Do not disrupt and set back the development, the nourishment of the people, because the people are an individual. Themselves are an asset. It's like putting money in the bank. Don't mess up our money in that bank. Don't. Because they have capacity to grow to unlimited, unimaginable levels. And that's what we've been doing in Africa, carrying guns and looking for natural resources. There has to be a stop to unarbitrary, unrestricted, unlimited access to natural and mineral resources, because that's God's creation. You didn't create that. Go invent, if you want to make money or something on your own, go invent something. Based on the principles of the Pan-Africanist Congress, of Africa, our liberation principle, serve, suffer, and sacrifice. And that will live forever, my Africa. And in example of, like for example, Sabelo Kwatapama, the commander of the Zanian People's Liberation Army. Now, we fought, my Africa. We fought. And we can't run away from ourselves. And Sabelo Kwatapama was assassinated and killed by a stage. Now, most of the opposition forces were killed by trucks. They just put a truck and killed him. Stage truck accident on February 11, 1994. That was 71 days before the 27 April 1st, April 1, black vote. The black vote on 27 April. So, and we also have Jephthah Masemola, dubbed the Tiger of Azania, also assassinated by a stage truck accident in April 17, 1990. Was released on 10 October 1989. Now, he was released in 1989, 10 October, by April 17, 1990, he was killed. And he has spent 28 years on Robben Island, the longest jailed political prisoner under apartheid. Period. It cannot be, it is not pronounced, it is not said, but he is. The records are so. And the truth is slow, Africa. They say that the jackal thought that the jackal is smart and that he could run on sand, and the sand said, no, you can't run too much, hold him. That's how the truth travels. Lies run like a jackal on sand, and it will get caught up, my Africa. So we appeal to you, my Africa, those especially in Azania, to vote as my Africa. Do not sacrifice your vote to suffer exclusion any longer, more than 21 years after the first majority vote. And my Africa, our Africanist principle, objective, is to unite African people in a monolithic giant, that is a union of African states under democratic socialism and socialist economy in content and Africanist in form. To paraphrase Mafrika, the Pope again, Mafrika. Brothers should stand by each other, because if you fight amongst yourself, you'll be devoured by those outside. And in South Africa, Mafrika, the liberation movement is split inside, outside, within all the ranks. I mean, all parties split. They're fighting. And the governing party, regrettably, Mafrika, and tragically, has been co-opted. It has co-opted itself. Is now swallowed and completely devoured by the apartheid monopolies. And the latter, Mafrika, these monopolies are creating, monopolies with their allies overseas, are creating a powerful few self-serving black elite. A few who are self-serving. Others among them fraudsters and counterfeits. Now they are looking at the young ones, Mafrika, even here. They are looking to beam in the country. The young youth, they say that we, the older ones, victims of apartheid, are too objectionable. We have a hangover, man. They want children who don't know anything. The so-called the new breed. They have a special name for that. They want those. They don't want us no more. So another generation has been built. And the imperialism, Africa, who actually run in the country there, over there, even those are from here. And let me stop by saying imperialist. You have ethnic mafios, people who infiltrate others. They are the ones who are running South Africa today, because they are the ones that bought and bamboozled the liberation leaders. Give them money, 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 money. They gave them money. We don't know if these guys will die and be buried with that money. Like, for example, in Africa, the fraudsters, chief operating office of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC. This guy promoted himself within the ranks. No, he was promoted because he worked hard. You know, when they come in, like they're young, they work, they want to show everybody that, okay, I'm capable. Reportedly did not even pass under 10. Of course, that's part of the, you know, what do you call it? Accommodation, accommodating Africans, putting them in certain positions. But this guy did not pass under 10. And what he did was he pissed. He went on an anti-intellectual crusade and paging. And even misrepresented, allegedly misrepresented his matric qualifications. Arrogantly, Mafrika, I saw him the other day on TV. To quote, the public broadcast company came looking for him. He did not apply for the COO job. The company, public broadcast company, came looking for him. He did not apply for a job. Imagine, Mafrika, some of us are communication experts, all right? And we have initiated projects to publicize even the liberation movement, studying software and everything in scratch, and that antagonized us with the enemy. Now you have an income proof with no standard 10. Overpaid, Mafrika. Let's listen. Just listen, Mafrika. February 2015, COO reportedly increased his salary from 1.5 million to 2.5 million rands in 1 year. A year's increase of over 900,000 rands. And this year, Mafrika, 2015, he received 3.7 million rands, up from 2.8 million. This is literally putting up your middle. This man, this, you know, the governing party, the presidency, they are literally putting up their middle finger, letting this man, put up his finger to the nation and howling, screw you, veterans and everybody else, because we have veterans today. One of them was complaining, said, look, I do not have, I can't access your program because I do not have bundles. The only way I can get some minutes is to go to McDonald's and get some minutes. Huh? Now, we have a Marxist-Leninist ruling party, even during the liberation struggle, petitioned the United Nations to de-recognize the Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, calling themselves the only authentic liberation movement. It was a grouping that was linked to the Soviet Union, and we were linked to China. Where are they? Where are they today? Huh? With these nincompoops and fraudsters pointing their middle fingers at us. Now, you can imagine this anti-intellectual bias and savageness to eliminate competent staff. And what is the governing party doing? COO was paid $2.8 million in between 2013 and 2014, and the country's president gets about $2.8 million. Now, one judge at the Supreme Court of Appeals even complained because they were listening to his case. He's trying to dispute his dismissal and the counterfeit claims that he passed matric. The judge was complaining that this man is paid more than judges of the Supreme Court. The color line problem, Africa, we've got pimps in our ranks. And that's why Africa is standing still, because they come with a sense of entitlement, the arrogance that we see in this. And many of them have committed fraud. Many of them, even the chairman of SABC board, complained that the university issued wrong academic certificates, the results. It means the university perjured itself when she claimed to be holding certain positions. And these are the friends of the governing party, especially the presidency. I'm sorry, Africa. The color line problem, Africa. Colossal damage of slavery, colonialism, and apartheid. All right. These are the symptoms. But let's look, Africa, to quote a report. The South African Gandhi, Stretch a Barrel of Empire. This was a book written by professors in South Africa. To quote Africa, Gandhi, one of the first battles Gandhi fought after. Now, to quote, one of the first battles Gandhi fought after coming to South Africa was over the separate entrances for whites and blacks at the Durban post office. Gandhi objected that Indians were classed with the natives of South Africa, who he called Kaffirs, and demanded the separate entrance for Indians. We felt the indignity too much and petitioned. That's what he's saying, a quote, according to Gandhi. We felt the indignity too much and petitioned the authorities to do away with invidious distinction, and they have now provided three separate entrances for natives, Asiatics and Europeans. In a petition letter in 1895, Gandhi also expressed concern that a lower legal standing for Indians would result in degenerating so much so that from their civilized habits, they would be degraded to the habits of Aboriginal natives, and a generation hence, between the progeny of the Indians and the natives, there will be very little difference in habits, customs, and thought. And in an open letter to the Natal Parliament in 1893, Gandhi wrote, I venture to point out that both the English and the Indians spring from a common stock called the Indo-Aryan. A general belief seems to prevail in the colony that the Indians are a little better, if at all, than savages or the natives of Africa. Even the children are taught to believe in that manner, with the result that the Indian is being dragged down to the position of a raw kaffir. At a speech in Mumbai in 1896, Gandhi said that Europeans in Natal wish to degrade us to the level of raw kaffir, whose occupation is hunting and whose sole ambition is to collect a certain number of cattle to buy a wife with and then pass his life in indolence and nakedness. Now, as you speak, that was Gandhi, my friend. You related and, you know, he's prominent. But the color line problem, everybody hates us. And they don't love us in Africa, those who come in. They want what Africa has, and I think there has to be an international, global position. But the Africans are the ones who have to start, because we suffered, we sacrificed, and we saved. And with the temerity or the tenacity that we prosecuted the liberation struggle, let's protect our land. Let's protect our natural resources. Let's protect our meat. Let's stand up against these corrupt and shady African leaders. I'm sorry, Africa, I apologize. Now, South Africa today Now, you talk about Gandhi. Now, South Africa today is dubbed the Gupta Republic. And I can call it the Gupta State. The Guptas are a family from India, close to the presidency. One of the ministers complained, we stated in the past program, that one minister in government publicly complained the Gupta family informed him of his cabinet appointment before government officially informed him. And according to the recent reports, my African newspaper report, true or false, early last week, Sunday evening, quote, my African, a presidential level motorcade, complete with large contingent of traffic police on motorcycles, paid a visit to the Gupta family compound in Saxon World in Johannesburg. On Tuesday night, the president unexpectedly, and to the surprise of even top members of his own party, announced that he would fill a six-month-old vacancy in his cabinet by appointing a relatively unknown MP to the critically important mineral resources portfolio. Minister of Mineral Resources. Now, imagine, my Africa. But it's up to us, my Africa, you, the individual of Africa, stand up, because we have been savaged. We have been crucified. We are being excluded. And we have nothing for the future. They are mining 24 hours. They are opening each mine every day. And there's acid water coming from the ground, from the gold, old gold mines. And government is paying to clean up the water. Government using our money to clean up the water of the gold that was exploited under apartheid, and we never got reparations or charged economic crimes for the apartheid economic crimes. We never got that. To quote Dr. Amos Wilson, Africa, why is Africa so rich and yet Africans so poor? The Creator could not have intended for us, the African people, to be poor people. If the Creator planted in our soils all the wealth that was planted there. We talk about the minerals, the oil, the gold, this and that, the Creator planted in African soil. The Creator blessed Africa from the beginning with wealth and possibilities for us to be hungry in the midst of this wealth and to be starving. We see ourselves as depending on Europeans when in reality the truth is the opposite. It is the other way around. Europeans depend on us. We have to live in a state of permanent deception in order to be used this way. We are used, the way we are used. And you ask yourself, my African, why, my African, why? We have nincompoops and middlemen running to sell off at the slightest show of currency, a dollar. And my Africa, this inferiority complex, because Biko talked about it, my Africa. Biko said that whites must be made to realize that they are only human, not superior. Same with blacks. They must be made to realize that they are also human, not inferior. But my Africa, we are displaying the most gruesome inferiority, even if we have the governance. So, my Africa, and also, my Africa, you ask why South Africa, Gabon, and Nigeria voted with the United Nations Security Council to impose a no-fly zone against Muammar Gaddafi. Effectively, my Africa, sentencing him to death. That vote was a vote to murder, license to murder Brother Gaddafi. May his soul rest in peace, my Africa. But we are doing the same mistakes, and at the same time claiming to be revolutionary and looking for counter-revolutionaries within our ranks. My Africa, stand up. Stand up, my Africa. Stand up. Stand up, my Africa. We are saying that Izolethu, Fatsela Rona, Shamulaso, the land is ours. We thank my Africa the opportunity to talk to you and the privilege, my Africa, of listening. Thank you.